o'clock, so it's Wednesday. We're going to start with a meeting. Also, a word of welcome to the National Commissioner, Police, and his delegation, including the acting head of the DPCR. I see also these two provincial commissioners and also divisional commissioners. Welcome to them. Also, welcome to civil society and the media. Honourable members, just in terms of our program today, we've got three items. Of course, we're going to deal first with a feedback briefing on the intervention by national management in terms of the global police station and the steps taken by the provincial commissioner to address the issues there. Then we're going to have a briefing from the provincial commissioner in Gauteng regarding the matter that happened at Mamelodi West, so that we can just be kept abreast. And of course, the main presentation will deal with the issue of technology and digital policing. So we'll take the first two presentations first. I just want to maybe at the start of the meeting just refer to three matters that is in the public domain, and of course I will also allow members to comment on that. The first issue, I think on behalf of the committee and parliament, we want to extend our sincere condolences to the South African Police Service and especially the Gauteng branch of the South African Police Service with the callous killing of the station commander of Meadowlands in Soweto, Brigadier Mofokeng, in front of his 14-year-old daughter last week. It is indeed shocking. It is totally unacceptable. And it begs the question. We've got a constitutional state with certain rules and regulations, and we expect from all the inhabitants to act in line with that. But again, the killing of a senior police officer at his home is really not in line with that. And again, I think society, and we'll have to debate that going forward, what extra measures should be put in place to ensure the safety of our citizens, but especially our police, women and men. So really, we want to think of the South African police, especially with regard to that matter. It is really a very serious matter, and our full sympathy for the family. The second issue, we have seen the announcement by the Honourable Minister of Police, Becky Cele, MP, with regard to the appointment of General Makwanazi as the acting provincial commissioner in KZN. We welcome the appointment. We want to thank General Langa for his stint 2 years as the acting provincial commissioner. He did well, and we thank him for his service, and also wish him well in his future role in his post in province. We think it's necessary that there should be further interventions in KZN. We think the appointment of General Makwanazi will lead that process. It's important that the issue of taxi violence, the issue of hostile unrest, and also the political killings must be addressed head on. So we will also monitor that situation going forward. Then the third issue, we've seen last week a breakthrough by the DPCI with regard to the one bank robbery on the West Rand. We want to welcome that, SAP's measures with regard to that. Of course, we've announced last week that on the 13th of June, we will invite all role players to a special portfolio committee meeting to deliberate on the issue of cash advance, what can be done. I was already contacted by role players in the private security industry, banking industry, who wants to come to the summit and contribute positively. So I think that would be a major initiative that we can see what can be done, that we deal with this issue quite extensively. So, members, that is just the introductory remarks on my side. I will then give members, as always, an opportunity before we start. Honourable Kalabana.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm from KZN, and certainly General Makwanazi's appointment has been welcomed with open arms. I mean, he's known as the operations guy, and he's highly admired and trusted, and there are so many issues in KZN, from the endless political killings to the heists, Cleveland's taxi violence, etc. I think he is the ideal person, and I do hope they manage. I know the courts run at the speed of snail. I hope they manage to finish with the issue of the suspended provincial police commissioner and simply appoint him. I know you can't circumvent the law, but really this could drag on for another umpteen years. I hope it doesn't. And of course the assassination of a station commander, and one who was retiring I think a month later, is tragic. And perhaps the time has come for a full review of a full review of how the SAPS looks at security of station commanders, and a full review of the methodology of movement of SAPS members. When SAPS members are attacked, frequently they are on their own. I mean, we've seen footage of a single SAPS member beaten with a hammer to the ground, firearm taken. I don't know if he's ever recovered, but there must be some way that SAPS members travel in pairs, or their transport, they are assisted, not having to use public transport, etc. I don't know that the time hasn't come, considering the enormous number of SAPS murders and assassinations, that a full review is done. Please.
Thank you very much. Honourable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just comment on the killing of the station commander. I think in this parliament we had two debates on police killings. And it is still continuing. And I think that is unacceptable. I wouldn't know, because that would be an operational issue. But it also dents even our credibility as a portfolio police, not only the police themselves. And I don't know what needs to be done, because what needs to be done will be operational. But maybe if it's not against the rules, maybe we just need a whole day session with the top brass of the police as this portfolio committee to discuss some of these things in full. Maybe we can come up with something, because we can't have a situation like this. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Markey, Honourable Molobatsi, and then Honourable...
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to comment on the appointment of General Mkhwanazi. You see, some of us who know him from very long are very convinced that KZN will never be the same again. He's hands-on, he runs fast, and I'm cocksure KZN will be very different than Shell.
Thank you very much. Any other member on those three issues? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We will then go to the presentation, unless the National Commissioner wants to also just comment on those three topics. He's welcome.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Member. Chair, firstly, we would like to acknowledge and appreciate the support of the committee, especially from the painful situation that we experienced with the station commander at Gauteng. But we also want to maybe welcome both initiatives by the honourable members regarding the safety of our members. The suggestion by the honourable member, if it's possible, of a debate with the committee, because we also have other issues relating to review or revisiting of certain of the pieces of legislation that should empower police members more. and the review of the police safety plan, I think it's underway, but we'll also then welcome the inputs that speaks to that. We also just want to indicate, I think the Honorable Chair has spoken about a breakthrough that the police made with regard to the heist, which are very troublesome now. We also just wanted to relate to a second one. I think it's yesterday, we arrested a G4S security with 1.5 million in his house. And after that particular arrest, the team went further to arrest three other heist criminals which were cooperating with them. But the purpose of us relating to this breakthrough is just an indication to the committee that there's quite a lot of inside job and there's quite a lot of handing overs because the other latest heist in Gauteng, the criminals intercept the vehicle, they open the bag, the bags are not in the safe. They are just put there, then you could see that they were ready to be delivered. And they just took them. But we have intensified the investigation and also on the side of the unconventional approach, because we also want to get into the security companies themselves. We suspect there's a deeper problem that talks to this. And just also to inform the committee, I'm sure this week we're expecting the delivery of 66 vehicles, high-powered. We intend to take occupation of the off-ramps, the highways. We're intensifying that is the activation plan. But all our high-risk specialized forces are also deployed. We just want to stabilize this particular crime as a matter of agency. Finally, we also welcome the comments with regard to the appointment of General Mkhwanazi. We are also equally convinced. We also even fear KZN will be screaming not very long. But it's going to be a positive scream. It's not a Regulation 45 appointment, Chair. No, thank you.
No, we're very glad to hear that one. Thank you very much for that input, National Commissioner. We will monitor the situation going forward. Honourable members, we immediately go to the first item, the briefing on the Nkobo Police Station Progress Report, over to the National Commissioner and his team.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. The presentations are going to be done, the Mamelodi one, by General Vise, who's the cluster commander. Engobo is going to be done by General Singh. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'll take you quickly through the presentation. The overview of it is the actual CAS, the main case, CAS 112 of Engobo, the trafficking of persons, the asset forfeiture investigations, security interventions in terms of CCTV cameras, your risk assessment, your police safety plan, as well as capacity issues. HRM interventions that were undertaken at the station, and as well as community engagements and cooperation from local government. In respect of the main case, the case was presented to court on the 7th of May, 2018, and was postponed to the 14th of June for further investigation. The charges comprise of 6 counts of murder, 25 counts of attempted murder, 8 counts of aggravated robbery, and 10 counts of possession of unlicensed firearms and ammunition. Housebreaking, sexual offenses, and conspiracy to commit aggravated robbery are charges that are yet to be added. In respect of trafficking of persons, most women were reunited with their families, with the exception of 7 women who are still being kept at a place of safety. The Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations, responsible for the investigation of cases of trafficking in persons, is in the process of obtaining statements from the victims. In respect of the asset forfeiture investigation, a task team has been established to conduct an asset forfeiture investigation with regard to the 7 vehicles which were seized. Statements were obtained from the INATIS officials and previous owners of the seized vehicles in order to establish the circumstances under which these vehicles came to be in possession of the Mangoba brothers. These are the vehicles, Honorable Chair, the Mercedes-Benz, the BMW X4, and so on, who belongs to the said family. It also indicates the date of ownership of those vehicles. The community submitted a signed petition demanding the demolition of the premises. The Eastern Cape local government is currently pursuing a court order in order to demolish the church premises. The demolition can only take place when the court order has been granted accordingly. In respect of the security intervention, specifically CCTV cameras, provincial TMS conducted a needs assessment, and from this specifications will be drafted. A meeting was held with CETA on the 15th of May to infuse the closed circuit television with the existing infrastructure of CETA. A needs assessment was conducted and 19 cameras were identified to cover the identified site. The specifications are being drafted and the bid will be launched by TMS. The tinting of the community service center, the CSC windows, smash and grab has been done. A remote control gate has also been installed. In terms of the police safety plan, on the 6th of March, a provincial directive was issued by the provincial commissioner regarding the proactive and preventative measures to prevent attacks on police stations and members. The national police safety plan was also circulated to all police stations. During a follow-up visit to Ingobo Police Station on the 8th of May by provincial Vispol, the following could be confirmed: that members were wearing bullet-resistant vests, members were in possession of the required equipment, on and off-duty parades are being conducted and the checklist being completed, and members are sensitized of their safety during parades. And a copy of the police safety plan is available in the CSC. The police safety is on the agenda of the Provincial Crime Combating Forum as well as the Cluster Crime Combating and the Station Crime Combating Forums. A visible policing commander has been placed at Ingobo Police Station to enhance the command and control. The officer at the rank of Lieutenant Colonel commenced duties on the 17th of April. A total of 12 additional members has been identified to be placed at the Ingobo Police Station and are being transferred from the Western Cape. The consultation process with the members is in progress. 2 additional vehicles were handed over to the police station during the Provincial Management Forum at the end of April 2018. As well as the tactical response team capacity will be established in the Kofimvaba cluster. In terms of HRM intervention, specifically employee health and wellness, chaplains from the Mthatha, Butterworth, Kofimvaba, Queenstown, Elliot, Mount Fletcher clusters were deployed to the police station and presented counseling to the 5 survivors of the attack, as well as other members within the stations. The chaplains were divided into groups to pass the death notices. Each survivor was allocated a professional to assist with counseling. Counseling is still being offered to survivors and station members. Similar services are still being offered to families of the deceased when the need arises. Social workers and psychologists from the national and provincial office rendered support to members and their families. Formal trauma debriefing sessions were held with members at the police station as well as operational members attached to the investigation of the incident. Sustainability services is now offered by the provincial employee health and wellness by weekly station visits. Funeral benefits were paid to the families. In terms of the debt grants for the 5 deceased members were approved by the debt grant evaluation committee on the 26th of February, and payments have been made. In terms of pension payments, the debt grant of the 5 deceased have been forwarded to JIPA for pension payout and are currently in process. The cases are closely monitored by head office to ensure the speedy finalization. In respect of the Education Trust, the SAPS Education Trust will render financial assistance to the children of the deceased members following fulfilling their educational needs. Community engagements, the Minister of Police held a community outreach on the 21st of April to follow up on the previous matters that were identified during the initial visits in February. The following issues were raised by the community. The Seven Angels Church must be destroyed, and in respect of the progress thereof, a petition from the community has been handed over to the municipality. The process of acquiring the court order for destruction is underway. In respect of the station being beefed up in terms of personnel, negotiations are underway with the Provincial Commissioner of the Western Cape to transfer 12 members laterally. The removal of the writing on the mountain that has been finalized. The impersonating of police officers is in progress. There's creation of awareness. Communities are encouraged to view appointment certificates. A stipend for community police forum members. This issue has been elevated to the Department of Safety and Secretariat. In respect of proliferation of firearms, it is in progress. A task team has been established and is being led by the DPCI. The satellite and contact points in the Bojana location is finalized. A mobile unit was allocated to the station for deployment. SAPS members are in cahoots with criminals. EHW proactive programs are in place, sensitizing awareness by corporate communication. In respect of the mobile police station, it has been finalized. The Kofi Mbava cluster was provided the mobile police station to rotate to the communities within the cluster. The fencing of the police station, a new front gate was installed. The inner gate is in the process of being repaired. The installation of CCTV cameras are in progress. In respect of the firearm detectives, the installation of CCTV cameras will address this aspect. The space in front of the police station must be vacated and be open to enable the police to detect perpetrators. This has not yet been done. In respect of the lack of resources, 2 dozen LDVs have already been provided to the police station. The street light issue in front of the police station is not attended to as yet. This matter has been initiated, but the SAPS is dependent on the local municipality, which issue has been escalated. The removing of the street vendors in front of the police station is not as yet finalized. This is also an issue with the municipality. The demarcation of parking space is not yet attended to, as well as within the municipality's jurisdiction. Honourable Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. General, the Provincial Commissioner, has she got anything to add? Maybe.
Thank you, Chair. Nothing so much. This is a true reflection of what we have done. The only thing is that the cooperation with the local government is also escalated to the provincial government agency and also to the National Commission for assistance.
General Sitole, anything from your side?
Yeah, Honorable Chair, thanks very much. Maybe it's just important to indicate what has been the national instructions pertaining to this, that the police station should have a national action plan. And the action plan outline national interventions where matters are beyond the competence of the province. Then there's also provincial interventions. All divisions that are relevant, they've been instructed to play their role at the police station. So that action plan is monitored at national level. It's a national priority. But secondly, where we also need the support of the committee, because this is an inter-cluster issue, is the ability of local government in the area to attend to matters that relate to their area of jurisdiction. At the present moment, it's a serious grey area. There's also no bylaws, and they haven't started anywhere. From our side, we're escalating it through COPTA, and we'll also ask for the minister's intervention. But we can also appreciate the assistance that is and support from the committee, because that role needs to be activated. The vendors and the rest is actually one of your root cause factors that create opportunities for for criminals to undermine the police station. But this police station is one of the high priorities in the police safety plan, and everything is monitored. The national deadline that I've given them for all the processes that by 30 June, everything must have been in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. We note the progress with regard to the process. Just to those members who've joined us late, we're currently busy with the Nkobo presentation. After that, we will receive the presentation on the Mamelodi West incident in Gauteng, and after that, the main presentation with regard to technology. So we'll allow members for a few questions. The first question from my side, in a certain sense, this action by yourselves, the National Commissioner, sets a precedent, a very important precedent, I think, in terms of police safety, because there is now a menu of steps that must be done to ensure that police stations are safe. Now, my question is, and it's also linked maybe to the later presentation, I think in your presentation you indicated the number of CCD cameras, the gates. In terms of the priority police stations in the Republic, which is high risk in very, let's say, in areas situated also in urban areas that is really high risk, are you going to roll this now out? Because there's now a standard set, and I think it's very good, because then there's certainty from the community and the committee side that police precincts are safe. Are you going to roll it out? We've seen in the presentation that will be presented later, there's reference to long-standing CETA projects in certain three areas in the country, but rolling it out countrywide, well, what is the plans? Let's go to the members, Honorable Olabatsi and then Honorable Marke.
Thanks, Chair. You see, I like this advent of ADG. When have you looked at your premises from a criminal point of view? To say, if I was a criminal entering these premises, where will I enter from? And I want your response on that one. Again, you on page 6, you mention the putting up of a fence. Are you saying there was no fence before? And my next one is, you speak of 12 additional members and technical response that would be established. Why was it not done before this incident? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bachelor, Honourable Marke, and then Honourable Mula, then Honourable...
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 3, there are 6 counts of murder. I seem to remember a case whereby people are charged with the murder of their accomplices. I remember asking about it, but I don't know under what act. If you caused a shootout and some of your own people died, there was a case like that one. If they could explain, or can't that be added here? I'm not sure whether what I'm saying is very clear. And as we talk about police safety, I saw a Nyala burning, was it yesterday or the other day? And if you know how much we need those Nyalas, you feel it, or that Nyala might be one of those that were done by cannibalizing another one. So police safety in terms of the protests, I think we need to get into that, not only in the police stations, maybe if that can be, it must be part of that anyway. And well, you addressed a question of the municipality and local government, and you said it has been escalated. I think it's unacceptable that we can't move because of municipalities. I think something must be done, because if they don't move, it means the safety of the police is still in question. Well, just for point of information, on page 10, there's on and off-duty parades. Off-duty parades, what would that mean? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'll come back to you, Honorable Mula, and then Honorable Mshlongo.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Okay, sure.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for your presentation. In slide 11, you are saying a visible police, visible command has been placed at Ngoko. What do you mean? Do you mean that there was no visible commander? In slide 16, on the issues, you say the space in front of the police station must be vacated and be open to enable the police to detect perpetrators. It is not yet done. When is this going to be done? In slide 7, you are talking of a street light in front of the police station not attended to as yet. When is it going to be attended? Because if there is no street light in front of the police station, it's dark. When are you going to see if there are people who want to rob the police station? Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Mula, Honorable Mshlongo, and then Honorable Mabija. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Now, thanks, Commissioner, for the briefing. But my main worry, Commissioner, is the question of continuity. Chairperson, you recall in our visit, in our oversight visit to Eastern Cape, that we visited a command center of Tetra. And the report that was given to us was that Tetra rollout has been completed, the installation of gadgets in the Eastern Cape. They are to move to KZN, and they have finished in Gauteng. I think if my memory serves me well, that was the position. I want to understand exactly. If then this Tetra technology has been installed in the Eastern Cape, understanding this was an attack of the police station. Now, what happened to this technology that has been rolled out in terms of it alerting nearby members for immediate response in order to be able to rescue this? I'm raising this, Jefferson, because if and only if we don't follow this thing up, we will continue on the downward trend of this fiscal dumping in our police services. Because I am sure that the nation is still paying billions of rands for this very same system. If and only if it doesn't have good returns, what is then the purpose? That is where my question is. Then secondly, you know, somewhere in the past, I think I saw it on the news, when it was talked about a certain church keeping young kids and all that. I think it was somewhere last year, if not mistaken, early last year. And I believe that must have attracted local intelligence services to have an interest as to what is it that is actually happening there immediately. before this thing can actually then bang on our face like in the way it happened. What has been the crime intelligence activities in that local area in terms of this particular development? Because it didn't, to me, it didn't just develop just to say that it just those were just people who just assembled these units on the same day and then they decided. It has been building up for some days or months or years, if needs be, this particular thing. If then the local crime intelligence service could not be able to pick up such an activity, it makes me come then to this particular question of slide 15. When members of the community are saying police members are in cahoots with criminals, what steps has been taken there? Because really, even only to me, members of the community are best appetites in everything. They might not have technicality that we possess, Chairperson, but they can see and they can conclude. So what steps has been taken? Because even only if we can brush that thing aside without actually cracking deep into it, what do they mean if they say police members are in cahoots with criminals? Has there been a thorough assessment done in this particular area in order to ensure that we weed out criminals? Because even only if these guys were making so much money, didn't that attract police, knowing that police, our police service members are paid less, for them then to be tempted to work with these criminals and assist them and get rid of their own counterparts, of their own colleagues, who might actually stand on their way? So these are the main boggling questions to me, Chairperson. Because in that small community, you can't have such a big thing mounted from a local area, not even coming from outside, without being picked up by intelligence services. Not unless we don't have intelligence services. Because I know for a fact that there were some moves that even attracted some provincial government members to that particular specific church. Even only if crime intelligence service could not have an interest to that, it means we don't have any crime intelligence service. Thank you.
Thank you, Muslongo. Honorable Bija, the Honorable Kaula Bona.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yesterday I managed to go through this report. Indeed, this report is a good report. It shows that there's implementation of things that makes the men in blue and women in blue at that police station to feel safe and free and be able to work as expected. But then, this, my question is, according to how I understand the situation at the police stations on the ground within South Africa, Global Police Station is just like a sand of grain in a sea. And then my question is, are we going to continue using crisis intervention management when something happens at Police Station G, we run and do what we are doing at Ngobo? So do you have in mind to cover all the police stations, whether it be in urban areas or rural areas, so that all police stations are up to scratch to meet the challenges and those police officers are safe wherever they are? Because like we just pick. We don't care about, in fact, let me not say we do not care. Maybe there are things that hinders the management to do what I would wish it to be. So my plea is that consider all the police stations, even those in Limpopo, in the rural areas, those in Mpumalanga, not all over. Let's not pick on police stations. And I'd like you to respond if you have a plan to do that or you are going to do it. Because by the end of you using crisis intervention management, a lot of these police officers shall be underground, dead, killed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mabija. Honourable Kolobana.
Thank you, Chairperson. Slide 11. 12 additional members have been identified to be placed at the station, Gorba I'm talking about, transferred from the Western Cape. Now, isn't that robbing Peter to pay Paul? We know the Western Cape is terribly under-resourced. I'm worried about what stations are being stripped rather than bringing in perhaps members from another province. And absolutely, what you've done here is admirable, but it is reactive. And what we need to see is proactive management so that all stations are secure. And this speaks back to my initial remarks when we were talking about the tragic, assassination of a station commander, that the review needs to be undertaken into the security of the members in their homes, on the streets, and in their SAPS vehicles. Certainly in the stations. If they can't feel safe in a police station, how are our citizens to be safe, feeling safe in a police station? They just won't. I just wondered, as a matter of interest, the actual Seven Angels Church building, I've not seen reference anywhere to this. Did the church, I hesitate to even call it a church, but did those people build the building themselves, or is it something they took over or bought or adapted? What was the process, and how long have the criminal activities, according to your now investigation, how long has this been going on for? Has the community been aware of the criminal activities going on linked to this church for a decade, for 5 years, for 6 months? Because it speaks to the impact it will have and what has happened on the entire community. And maybe there are people there feeling enormous guilt that they didn't say anything before the tragedy, or they're totally shocked, or they found one of the kidnapped people was one of their own. I think the impact of this occurrence is going to be far greater than perhaps, although I'm very relieved to see that your HR brought in all the relevant social workers, everybody to talk to those involved, to discuss with the families. I think it's one of the best managed incidents I've seen in the decade I've been on this committee. It's been extremely well managed, and that is, for the first time, something that I've seen, a very proactive move to assist victims of something of a horror like this. And finally, if there are corruption complaints or complaints about congregants being in some way poisoned, we've seen photographs, we've seen pictures in newspapers where people are having poison sprayed into their face, snakes, force-fed snakes, all these terrible things, under the name of it being a church. Now, what is the SAPS position? Do you really have to sit back and wait for someone who's a member of that church to come and open a case? Because surely, if one of you in a uniform has to see him aiming a gun at me, okay, wrong way, her aiming a gun at me, surely you would jump up and do something. You would be proactive. If you see this is what's going on at an entity that calls itself a church, and you know it's life-threatening, surely you have the right to be proactive. Because I fear that this is a lot bigger than simply this one incident. I fear that if you do an investigation, you may find that these cash cows, because that's what I've seen people and know of people who put R1,000 in the plate every week but will not buy one school book for their child to go to school. They are cash cows in many instances. I'm not denigrating real churches where people go to pray. I'm saying people are infiltrating, using it as a facade for criminal activities, as we've seen. Where is your proactivity in this regard, and how far can you and should you go?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Apologies for being slightly late this morning. I am partly covered by the previous colleagues in terms of my main concern at a big picture level, that the progress report we received is a package of reactive measures, so dealing with problems after the fact, whereas many of them could have been at least mitigated were the basics being done correctly, consistently, backed up by the required capacity and monitoring and performance accountability enforcement, in order not to have those structural weaknesses. So what I'm not hearing coming through in the presentation is a lens of a structural analysis that will inform systemic reforms and drive a more proactive approach that can then be applied across the board in order to link to what Honorable Mabija said, that then all stations, especially small, rural, more vulnerable ones, are then also less at risk. So that's still a big missing gap for me. And as my first question, at the risk of repeating Honorable Mhlongo, is on this issue about the community inputs. So now there's been a response in terms of seeking a court order for the destruction of the church building or buildings. But I do know, I remember reading the reports that there had been complaints from the community about those premises being dodgy. There were dodgy going-ons happening in and around it. So is there an investigation into the crime intelligence failure to act on those prior community reports? And if so, how far is it? Have there been any findings? Because that's the root issue. If there had been an initial intervention, I think a lot of the problem could have been at least mitigated. I'm covered on the Western Cape transfers because, yeah, rubbing pieces of paper, that's not going to get us very far. Although actually, maybe let me say my favorite, rubbing Pumlani to pay Pilani. On the impersonating of police officers, I think this reactive measure is woefully inadequate. Making community members more aware of the issue and encouraging them to view the appointment certificates is one leg. But why isn't there a question being asked and an inquiry being pursued as to how this happened in the first place? How is it that people were able to impersonate police officers successfully? Were they getting collusion from inside? Had they stolen uniforms? Like, how did this actually happen so that we can analyze whether those same weaknesses are elsewhere in the service and therefore address them beforehand? Asking the community to take on the sole role of assisting with that matter is just a recipe for it to keep flaring up over and over again in various places. So again, I'm not seeing that structural systemic analysis of how did it happen in this instance, and therefore how can we look for those same risk factors elsewhere. Similarly, SAPS members in cahoots with criminals. Actually, I've got two questions on that. Number one, this intervention that's been reported on makes absolutely no sense. I don't understand how EHW programs and sensitizing awareness by corporate communication addresses that issue. Maybe I missed something in the explanation. So I'd like to understand how that intervention links to the issue.
But then secondly, again, surely the issue is to launch a corruption investigation, follow up on the allegations and find out who are these SAFS members that are alleged to be in cahoots with criminals so they can be rooted out. You know, police criminality is one of the root problems. Well, let me say, some criminal cops in the service are the root problem in terms of undermining the capacity and the integrity of the service to fulfill its core mandates. So that particular issue and the plan being put forward, I'm not understanding what that means. Last two questions, Chair, is on the issue of the fencing of the SAPS station. I note that they say the new front gate has already been installed. That sounds like record speed for reaction on infrastructure issues. So I would very much like to know, was that done through SAPS supply chain management, or was that done through Public Works? Because if it was Public Works, I would love to know how we got this outlier, given how long it's taken to address the VIP building in Bloemfontein, the Hawks building in Belleville, et cetera, et cetera. So just some clarity on how it is we were able to get that kind of speedy resolution or speedy initiation. And if so, can we then model that? That then gives an opportunity to say, let's not always get caught in the gridlock of negotiating and butting heads with Public Works. If we have a way to make to expedite infrastructural solutions, can that become the way we do things going forward, as opposed to it being a once-off? Again, systemic thinking so that we address things across the board. And finally, Chair, on the firearm detectors issue, again, I don't understand how the installation of the cameras is going to address that aspect, unless we're installing closed-circuit cameras with firearm detection X-ray equipment, because a camera is not going to tell you anything about whether or not somebody's trying to sneak on the premises with a firearm. So again, mind boggled. I need some explanation on that. So overall, I'm somewhat less impressed by this. It's very good that there's a package and there's interventions, but this is just going to put the band-aid on this situation, and we've got festering sores all over the place. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey. Honourable, what about you? Indicate you've got still one, and members, then we must move to the responses. Yes.
You see, on TV, we saw the community members saying they've been trying to alert the police of the weirdness of this church, but they were never taken seriously. Have you tried to investigate why they were never taken serious? And on page 6, there's this S. Mangoba, who registered two cars two days in succession. Have you also investigated what is behind this? Thank you.
Thank you very much, members, for your questions and input. Let's go to the National Commission's team for responses. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, thank you very much for the questions. I think I'm going to take the strategic questions, and I will afford the operatives to respond to the operational questions. Chair, I'm going to start with the question that has been raised by the Honourable Chair. I think firstly, as I took up office and pronouncing the new turnaround vision, one of the key deliverables under the stamping of the authority of the state was the review of the police safety strategy. And in that particular review, the short-term interventions, which talk to a quick-win approach in terms of matters that we should deal with pertaining to the safety of members of the service as a matter of urgency or immediately. Then we've got medium-term issues which talk to from infrastructure to other safety measures which include certain capital project approach. Then we've got the long-term one which talks to the capital project strategy for police stations. So today in the committee, we have been given the direction to come and relate on short-term progress. And we did not necessarily touch much on the medium, that is too long-term. But therefore, I want to formally confirm to the chair that there is a broader plan that talks to the rollout of police safety to all 1,148 police stations in the country. The approach is determined by the hotspot nature of those particular police stations. First in the row are those police stations which had prevalent attacks, which we refer to as the hotspot. My own instruction, which is the takeoff of this particular plan, that all police stations in the country, they need to undergo a physical security assessment. The purpose of a physical security assessment is to determine the requirement and the nature of security installations in those particular police stations, which means then that all of them must meet both your security standards as well as your crime prevention principles. There are those then that we must do immediately. Then, secondly, in your medium term, there's a design issue. Some of the police stations, they need to be completely redesigned because they create a situation which make them vulnerable. I've given the examples even to the select committee last, that most of your former TPVC state police stations, the design does not meet your security standards and as well as your crime prevention principles. I've issued instructions to supply chain, that is the building environment, to say let us attend to this design so that we get the right design that should respond to security measures. And then further to that, we've got the heavyweight police stations. Maybe there's something I should also still honestly say to the committee, that we also still have police stations here and there that are rented. And once you have a police station that is under rental, you can't change the design. That is point number one. But point number two, you're already vulnerable with regard to your safety. Because no matter how much you can master that particular police station, but the lease owner knows the police station more than we do. And we put stuff that is serious. I've also issued an instruction, we phase out all those leases, because it has got to do with the sovereignty of the state. That's also parent parcel of your medium to long term. Maybe I should wrap it up by saying, yes, we've got a plan that is proactive and that is focusing on the safety of police stations in all the police stations in the country. And I have also started a process with Public Works. And with regard to Public Works, again, we also need the support of the committee, and seriously so. Because we are two departments that are working together. The one department that is advantaged by the policy, which is the policy domain, is not conversant with security measures. When we speak about the security risk, Public Works doesn't understand what we're speaking about. When they do their prioritization for buildings, they look at us like any other department. If we identify a risk at the police station and it's not attended within 3 months, it may amount to something. To them, 3 months is minimum, it's 3 years. So I think the policy here, it also requires a bit of attention, but it's one of the deliverables that were factored into the police safety strategy, and we also brought it to the attention of the minister. I've also asked the minister to convene a ministerial meeting between the two ministers so that we attend to this. But maybe I can close here with regard to the plan, Chair, and if there's fully in place. The The one other question that I...
Sorry to interrupt. Just a two-finger there. The question was, did Public Works do what we've read? And I think I'm trying to pull out of what you've been saying. I think the answer is no. SAPS did it themselves, put up the gate, has secured the station. Because that's what we actually need to know. As far as I'm concerned, Public Works doesn't work, but I need to hear it from you.
Now remember that the National Commission indicated the other colleagues will deal with the operational issues, so we'll come to that. Yep. Commissioner, you can continue. Thank you.
Yes, I think the PC, when he gave the report to me, she confirmed that it has been done by us. And many of the few things which has been done, they have been done by us. Yes. That's why we're calling for the policy change. Then I wanted to take the space in front of the police stations and the lights. The one question is, why was it not done and when are we going to do it? But I wanted to start by this question and few other questions that talk to environmental design factors. I wanted to quote a caption from Chapter 12 of the National Development Plan. And it says, due to the collapse of the National Crime Prevention Strategy, SAPS became an all-purpose agency with an overstretched mandate impossible to fulfill. I think for us to make sure that there's light installed and the space is dealt with, then we'll have to maintain our status as an all-purpose agent. Simply because this is not our mandate. It's the mandate of local government. And I want to also put a little bit of more complexity to it. We will discover a drug factory within an area of a police station. We will do the arrest and everything, but who must demolish the building? Not us. If we move on to demolish the building, we must violate other laws because we have now interfered in the jurisdiction of municipalities. The whole country is full of unused buildings which are used as drug, you know, factories, and they are used for many other crimes. We do not have the mandate to demolish them. We refer the matters to where they belong. If we speak about a building now, which is troublesome, at least minimum, we'll still have to contend with the matter for more than 2 years. And I want to come to the church. Firstly, there's no church there. I went there myself. It's an ordinary house. It's an ordinary female house with informal settlements inside. I think there's a lot of mkukus inside the church, but there's no church. Two, our intelligence has investigated this matter, and it was fully brought to the attention of municipalities working together with the communities. By the time I was there myself with a former minister, Mbalula, the communities, they wanted to set all those buildings alight because they said, we have been engaging together with you, police. We indicated, we told municipality, we invited the church council. We said they must do away with this building. They must demolish it. More than 5 years. So, the mandate to deal with the church, it's not the police mandate. We deal with criminality within the church. And it will include us arresting even the bishop. If the bishop commits crime, we will take the bishop out, but the church will remain. Yes, so I think we've got a lot of frustrations with the church, but that's why I'm just asking for the support of the committee to say, but can we, when we root out criminality, get support to address the root causes? And at the present moment, the type of support we want is the strengthening of the municipality there to be able to fulfill their mandate. and it's not only at Engobo Police Station, it's across the country. But we will still pursue it. From my side, I'm still escalating the matter to the DG for COPTA, and I've asked the minister to assist us interacting with the ministry. But there's quite a few things that we need to do. Firstly, we need a local crime prevention framework in that particular area, part of the review of the National Crime Prevention Strategy. We're going to persuade them to convene it so that all parties come together, we work together. But secondly, they need to be assisted with bylaws. They don't have the capacity at the present moment. And we will continue to assist. So most of the things that are needed to be done there, they are not police mandate. But as an all-purpose agency, we will try our level best. But sometimes we have to shift the budget away from crime and policing and attend to the unattended responsibilities of other disciplines. And then we come in account here, what did we do with the budget for policing? And it's common, it's normal, you've got billions. these billions, they are actually spent on wrong mandates. Then the one question, I'm sure my first question, Chair, on the crisis interventions, we address it with the proactive plan. The police strategy has been reviewed. We are proactive then as well. The transfers, I think firstly in the Western Cape, we've pronounced together with the minister on Operation Thunder. We've given additional 269 members just to complement Western Cape to address that is the gangs and the challenges which are there. Secondly, in the recruitment plan, we've got 3,000 that is coming. From the 3,000, we are going to replace the transfers that we have taken from Western Cape, which means we're going to cut down a little bit on Eastern Cape to cater for Paul, who has been robbed. But at the present moment, the transfers of those members will not have a negative bearing on Western Cape because of the 269 that we have brought in there to support the province. I'm sure part and parcel of what is informing the transfers, Chair, is the fact that those members are actually originally from Eastern Cape, and in the Western Cape, they encounter a little bit of demographic problems, and we want them to be fully operationally ready so that they don't have, that is, other hassles. But they are definitely going to be replaced. Then the community inputs. We started connecting and interacting with the communities at Engobo. From the day of the incident, after the day of the incident, it was followed up by Imbizo, which the minister also convened. But the community policing strategy has been fully implemented at Engobo, is now fully in place. So the community link and intervention is now sustainable in terms of this particular plan. Then the CCTV cameras, I think previously I came to the committee and I indicated that we are busy with the total review of the technological requirement for policing. While we're going to install CCTV cameras at Engobo and all the other police stations in the country, we are also linking that to the review and the update of technology. And that also speaks to the submission by the Honorable Member, because if the technology is able to detect, like, your gunshot and other stuff, so we're trying to link that to the latest technology, because we don't want to fall into the same trap again, that as police, we're going outdated technology, simply because modus operandi advancement has now crossed to technology, and policing need to rise up to that particular level, hence the review. So the installation is also linked to the reviews. With your permission, Chair, I would allow the operatives, maybe I can give the PC first to respond to other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stolle. General, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson, members of the committee. Senior Hans Stolle has covered a lot of issues. I'm going to answer on that issue of the policemen in cahoots with criminals. The first leg of it is where the policemen are robbing the community. People are pretending to be policemen, are robbing the community, wearing the uniform. They will go into a house in the rural areas to say, we're coming here to search, we're looking for dagger or firearms. And then from there, when the people open, they will just rob them of everything. So that is the issue. On that issue also, we are employing our crime intelligence to look at that. We've got a counterintelligence operation that is running in that area of Ingqom. Also, the issue of EHW involvement, remember, it starts with your code of ethics. So the first level of it is to talk to our members about the code of ethics, the integrity, the respect to the rule of law, and all those things. And in communication is also communicating to all our members in terms of emails, and also to go to the station to talk about members who are involved in corrupt activities, is to beef up now the role of CI. So there is a counter-intelligence project that is running provincially, not only in Ingqom, because we've got the problem of corruption all over. As we have seen last time, we were 17 members. So we are continuing with that project. As the issue of vehicles registered on Mangoba, remember, after we closed the operation of the church, we've taken all the vehicles with there for further investigation. That's where we found out that all these vehicles are under the Mangobas, and Mangobas were not working. How do they now, can they be able to own these expensive vehicles? So it's under investigation. That's how we managed to get it. Now, we went to the owners to say, how did you give this to Mangoba? It was a donation to the church. So that is the issue that we are now following. That they were going also to charge them with money laundering. Also, the issue of the wall. There is a wall there. But we just want to beef up the wall with the electric fencing to beef up more security on the gate. And also the issue of the gate, because it was an urgent issue, we requested public works, but it was going to take too long. But when we look at the quotation of installing of a gate, it was very cheap, 19,000. Then we did it from our budget so that we can be able to speed up those quick wins that we can do. The issue of the investigation, I'm sure the DPCI will answer that issue of the counts of murder, because that investigation is done by them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Provincial Commissioner, for that feedback. The DPCI, General Matakata, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I would appreciate if Honorable Maki can just repeat the question that he raised on slide 3. And I think it was linked to murder and an attempted murder, but we couldn't get exactly what was the question. Thank you.
Thank you,
Chairperson. What I said was that there was a case whereby, say, there were three tsotsis that were robbing or attacking, and in the shootout with the police, maybe two of them die, and the other three are arrested. And they were charged, the three were charged with the murder of the two that died. Something of that nature. I can't remember under what act was that done, but...
Thank you, Honourable Marking. Right. The General Matakata, you want to take it, or... General Sitole, thank you.
Chair, can we request to the committee that we get deeper into the incident, and then we will collectively provide a report. Thank you.
That's fine. Right, Other responses? I just want to get the yes, General Provincial Commissioner.
There's one question that I left and did not answer. It's the one of a fiscal commander. There was a fiscal commander, but he was sick. Now we have placed him somewhere, and then we put the one that is active so that he can be able to manage all the operations.
Mabija, maybe it's follow-ups. I just want to remind you the time. We need to move to the Mamelodi West one. Yes, Mabija,
what I would like to know from the LATCOM is that are you aware that there are so many Manqoba churches around this country? Because then according to how I perceive them, they are, most of them, they are wolves in sheep's skin, using this religion, Christianity, to cover what is going on in the big pot. So things like this, what we have experienced with the Manqoba church, they are all over. So I don't say I'm coming. I'm just giving an input so that you can try and come up with which a structure or organization can you work together to the crime intelligence, and the, because what they are doing is crime, or the investigators can be able to identify similar things. So in order, because it is said prevention is better than cure. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Honorable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. General, I don't understand you when you are saying the fiscal commander was there, but he was sick and you replaced him. Why did you replace him? Because of his sickness, or you have doubts of him, or what? Can you please clarify that? Because you can't replace a person who's sick. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Shlongo, and then Honorable Barbara. And that's the end of the question. Thank
you. No, thank you, Chairperson. No, Chairperson. I think I had commissioners today responding particularly on just in passing on crime intelligence. You know, my main worry there is, you know, even only if we don't get sufficient information where the crime intelligence there, because as I was raising this thing, that when church leaders of the South African Council of Churches, leaders of the South African Council of Churches visited that place, that was long before this incident. Definitely it must have attracted to the attention of members of crime intelligence who said there is something really happening here. Some forms of infiltration of that particular cell structure of that so-called church could be done. So that we can have a kind of understanding. Because to me it's no use to say, yes, I understand, Chairperson, what the commissioner is saying is correct. But as a committee, if we are not well briefed to say, here is a deadlock that we have as police, can we get support from the committee to get solid? Just like, for example, on our oversight visit to KZN, when we were dealing with that question of that bushy area there and all that, it was easy for us at a political level to confront, to say, this is what the local government MEC or minister should do. Because at the end of the day, police are, it's not their duty to actually go and push out the blaze, dealing with the geographical design of the place. It's not their duty. But even only if at a local crime intelligence level and cluster level, nothing is being done to say, because to say there is crime going on there, proliferation of weapons. hasn't necessarily called for other spheres of government to intervene. It called for police to actually move decisively in there. You don't need any permission because it's a question of crime being actually then committed, proliferating illegal weapons. But even only if crime intelligence is on its stomach, is dead, certainly you are not going to be able, visible policing is not going to be able, Chairperson, to be able to move, because there is nothing informing it. On what basis are we moving in there as police? So that is a grey area to me. But then secondly, Chairperson, I understand the dilemma of the Commissioner, because the Commissioner has recently been appointed. But Commissioner, you have been there. You know, it's no use that we can talk about these things that, yes, Tetra is meant to achieve this, and that French and all South Africa has paid for this in order to be able to assist police to immediately communicate among themselves. But when then that is being put to test, nothing happens. Where is the problem? Because my understanding, Chairperson, when we visited this case, it was that this whole thing has been rolled out completed there. They are about to move to KZN. What form of assistance did this Tetra do to assist that particular thing of Engob?
Thank you, Honourable Kalibana.
Yeah, please, Chair, I would just like clarity on the issue of the cluster commander. Was he sick on the day of the massacre? Has he been sick for 5 years that he didn't notice what this was building up to? And if it was a sickness, why has he been moved elsewhere? Has he taken his sickness with him to do nothing there for 5 years? Is he sick enough to be boarded, or is it a pure fabrication? Because I don't believe any of it. You don't remove a person because they have flu on a day and then move him elsewhere. Sorry, I'm not buying that at all. So just tell us what's really happened about this particular person.
Thank you, Honourable Mula, and then Honourable Maki, you will be the last. Then we'll move on.
Thank you, Chairperson. General Stone, I heard you talking about 3,000 police that are going to Western Cape and Eastern Cape. I want to know, these police are going to Eastern Cape. What about the other provinces? Are you going to wait for other crises that can happen in Mpumalanga and you send 3,000 to the provinces? Do you have a plan in place for all the provinces? Because we have crises everywhere. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable
Mula, Honourable Maki. Thank you, Chairperson. I didn't want to forget what NATCOM said about policy change. Because we have been talking about public works for a very long time and what needs to be done. I remember I talked about it myself. Can I just suggest that they streamline the blockages which act needs to be amended, what needs to be done, so that we take it from the committee takes it from there. Otherwise we would have talked about it and it will just pass by. At least if you come up with concrete suggestions or hear blockages. Because I remember on two occasions we called in public works to come and explain some of these things. At least if we have that, all of those acts or rules or whatever, so that we can start challenging some of those things. And even suggestions, or if we remove this or if we amend this, then it will mean this and that can happen, so that we understand exactly what needs to be happen. Because we've been talking about this for a very long time. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kalibana.
Chair, I was going to leave it till later, but as an issue related to public works has been raised, I would propose that we have, as we had with the NPA, a joint meeting. I suggest we have a joint meeting. Call Public Works in, call the SAFs in, sit them down and say, right, do you understand that when the SAFs say they need gates, etc., it doesn't mean in 5 years' time when another 13 cops have been killed. They need it next week. Because patently, as we've been told, there is absolutely no understanding of what the SAPS actually needs. You know, I don't know if it was before your time, we went to a newly built police station, and the cells had all the hooks for the doors on the inside so you could conveniently hang yourself, and they couldn't even open the station. They had to have everything replaced. There is no concept at all in Public Works of what the SAPS need. So a joint meeting. I think that's what we need, exactly as we did before. I think that revealed a lot and has eased a lot in relation to the Hawks.
Well, on the Colobana, that one I can indicate to you that during this term we had two joint meetings with Public Works on police matters. And most of the top staff of Public Works was replaced. So it's totally new role players. So I think it's a good suggestion, maybe in the third term we will come back after the long constituency period to do that again. But the big problem is continuity. And I mean, that is part of the decision-making. And I mean, that's what we experienced in those two engagements, but we'll definitely take that up again. Right, thank you, members. General, over to you.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think maybe I'll just start with my comment on the last one, the policy part, and say, as the police, we want to extend our appreciation to the committee if this would be the intervention. And we will also further be prepared to provide a feasibility analysis report in terms of the policy framework that handicaps a policy. Because the one question that we've always asked ourselves is, why is accountability for security ceded to Public Works, yet we come and account? Because that's what this policy says. The national security risk, they don't carry, and they don't account on security matters. And we've got long examples. I've been in protection and security. We came to account even to ministers. Parliament, we had a physical security report that was more than 3 years not attended to. And there's been several problems. So I think we will then appreciate that. And the last one, which is interesting on this one, I never had an office since I became national commissioner. I've been waiting to occupy Telkom Towers. I was given 5 days since my appointment. I was told you'll be ready to enter in the office in January. It went to February. It went to April. It went to May. I decided to occupy the office. Immediately, I think it's 2 weeks back. After I've occupied the office, they wrote me a letter. We do not take any risk for your premature occupation of the office. So I've been working under the tree, so fighting crime from under the tree. So I think this, just those challenges. The Manqoba churches, we appreciate the input. And I think firstly this Seven Angels Church has got branches, several branches throughout the country. Others are in Gauteng. That's what the intelligence exercise has given us. So they've got quite a lot of branches. But then in the unconventional policing approach, we're also attending to that particular matter. We also have got some examples. I think General Masemula, when he was PC in Limpopo, I think there's certain churches that he was actually planning to close down. Because you find them anywhere, some of them they get tents and put there. So we are looking at it as a national problem. But on the side of the community-orientated approach, we are also saying this is a social ill. It requires us to join hands with the communities and all stakeholders. The initiative from within the turnaround strategy, I think I've introduced the spiritual crime prevention concept. And within the spiritual crime prevention concept, then we interact with all the organizations that are dealing with the church issues from national council, but we also mobilize the spiritual leaders. And the intention of this is also to tell them that we've got a problem, we've got problems the way churches are run in the country. And there's certain things that are criminal in nature, which we are not going to tolerate, so they should not be surprised if we get to churches. And we would not fear to investigate. So I think we are looking at it from that particular perspective. Maybe before the PC responds to the Vispol commander, I wanted to explain a principle. Once a member becomes sick, it doesn't matter who the member is and at what level the member is. There's an EHW evaluation that takes place. And we evaluate the illness against the work challenge. Because if the illness for any reason put limitations on this person to deliver service to the community, then we start saying the community cannot be disadvantaged. And secondly, we also then care about this member. Sometimes the member will not cope with the work rate, and as a result, his situation or her situation will deteriorate. From that EHW report, we decide to give this member a responsibility that he or she will be able to fulfill with the illness. And if it gets worse, there are processes again within the organization where we may end up opting that this member should be deemed medically unfit so that we save his life. Maybe the PC can explain the how, but I want to put the principle. Why the Viscopal commander was removed is because visible policing at a police station is the busiest function. And no member who is ill can cope with a visible policing function at a police station. I've got a strong belief that the decision of the PC was based on that. But PCs are able to speak for themselves. Then the briefing of the committee, maybe one thing that we want to acknowledge and appreciate, maybe about our committee, not all the committees, is the conducive climate that is always created by the committee for us to relate on the real situation that is facing policy. This also includes on matters and areas where we should brief the committee. We will therefore be able to brief the committee, but the concern about CI is in two ways. The committee knows that we're just in the process of turning CI around. It's from a limping position. Though they've done their work before, but they could not reach the standard in terms of what is expected. Through the turnaround, we're enhancing that, and we will reach a stage where we could give a full picture to the committee with regard to that. Why TRT was not there before? I think the rollout of TRT is a national program. There's other areas where TRT is already there. I think General Masemula has already put the units there. Engogo was part of the, or is part of that particular national program. But immediately after the incident occurred, I instructed the immediate deployment of the NIU to play the role that TRT should play there. And further to that, we said to General Masemula, I said, Engogo is no longer in normal situation, can't wait for the normal rollout program. And therefore, change Engogo to become a high priority. As I'm speaking, he's busy with it. but it's going to be permanent. So it was part of a national rollout program. I also wanted to correct the 3,000. The 3,000 is a national recruitment program. So those members, they're going to be distributed nationally. From the 3,000, we are going to replace the transfers that has been taken from Western Cape to Eastern Cape. Part of the 3,000 that was supposed to go to Eastern Cape is going to be cut down. It's going to be taken to Western Cape. So it's an annual distribution across the country of the members who are going to be recruited. And it's happening in each and every financial year. Finally, Chair, I would like with the permission just to allow General Masemura to talk to the Tetra. Thank you.
Wait for the Tetra until the third presentation, because it really deals with that. I mean, Tetra's part, but we must deal with it, so let's rather deal with it then. Is there any other responses, this Provincial Commission?
Thank you, Chair. General Scholar, I think he has covered me a lot on the transfer of the member. What I can say, that member did not get sick after that incident. He was always working on and off sick. But now there was a member from Mount Frere who volunteered to go to Engong at that same level. So we took that opportunity to transfer this member nearer home to Port St. John's as a visible support, which is lesser than the visible command outside doing the operation. So that one who's there now, he has brought a vibe in Engong. So they are going back to where they were. So that's the reason that why we were changing, because he was no more active as he's supposed to be active. Thank you.
Thank you very much. For the feedback and the questions, yes, there was a lot of operational questions. We're not going to take any more questions. But, I mean, maybe the strategic math is to take forward. I think it's going to be important that the medium and long-term strategy as spelled out by the police commissioner, that we get an opportunity sometime soon to look at that. But I think it is also incumbent on the national commissioner and the 9 provincial commissioners to be proactive and not wait. If they know, for instance, that there is a vulnerable police station, use own funds and deal with it proactively. Don't wait for something to happen. So I think from the committee side, that should be the approach. Honourable Markey also made comments regarding the police safety issue in the committee. Remember, we had in 2016 a 2-day summit on police safety, and we made very firm resolutions. Now, one of those was for joint research between the Civilian Secretariat and the police, and I think we must invite both those institutions before we break to come back on that one, especially the Civilian Secretariat, in terms of that research that was done to deal with the issue of police safety. Then the issue of the spatial development and design, I think the suggestion for another joint meeting with Public Works, we should do that. Then we will have an opportunity also to meet the new management of Public Works and really deal with that issue head on. That is quite important. So we note what happened in the Eastern Cape. In terms of the CI matter, I think we agreed as a committee that General Jacobs will come to this committee at the end of June. So I think some of the issues relating to police corruption, also the CI investigations counter, we will have to have a proper feedback. Of course, it also relates again to confidence of the community in police corruption. So we will also get that. Thank you very much. We will move then to the next presentation, the very, very tragic Katlego, Georgia incident in Mamelodi West. Now, of course, the Minister of Police has highlighted the importance of the children's safety and women's safety this year as a priority. And from the Portfolio Committee side, one child lost is not, I mean, it is not acceptable at all. We must do all that's possible. And, I mean, this incident also raised a number of questions. So we felt it's very important that the relevant provincial commissioner and cluster commander comes to the portfolio committee, that we get a feedback on that matter and see what happened there, what is the lessons. Because if it's experienced in one precinct, what is happening around the country? We've also seen recently successes by the police finding children. We also saw a high-profile case, I think, now in Malanga of a child that was lost. So it's happening in South Africa. So what is the police doing? what is the assistance given and what is the management stations with regard to that. So let's go to General Sithole.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. With your permission, General Vesey is going to lead the presentation. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, good morning, and honorable members, good morning. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Next slide. The contents, honorable Chair, of the presentation is going to be threefold. The first one is a synopsis of the incidents and the actions prior to the discovery of the deceased remains. And secondly, the incidents surrounding the discovery of the remains. And then thirdly, a synopsis of all the incidents subsequent to the discovery of the deceased remains. On Thursday, the 3rd of May, a little girl with the name of Katrefu Georgia, 10 years old, autistic girl, was reported as missing at the Mamelodi West police station. Relief B under the command of Colonel Domini was on duty. Unfortunately, and in complete contradiction with our instructions, the family members were turned back twice and told to come back after 24 hours. Through the intervention, later in the day, around 4 o'clock, Captain Mahesu, who is the communication officer of the police station, then assisted an inquiry for a missing person was then registered. Subsequent to being informed of the missing person, a station commander of Mamelodi West, who is also present here today, Brigadier Chayana, mobilized the head of the detectives and also the person responsible for the missing persons, and Lieutenant Colonel Malabati to accompany her to go to the family's house, the Storm family. On arrival, the station commander was met by CPF members and community leader Mr. Opam Tweni and Councillor Masilela. The station commander was then introduced to Mrs. Lily Storm, who is the mother of Katlego, Georgia, and other family members. The personnel of the Mamelodi police station then started executing house-to-house search of that street where they stay in, Mamelodi Street. CPF members supported by community members and SAPS personnel proceeded and distributed flyers in the area. The pink ladies were already informed and contacted by the family. The station commander also then activated the K9 members to come and assist with the search. The Cluster Operation Command Center was also notified. The captain, who was in charge of the COCC, started engaging with the neighboring stations to see whether a missing person was being reported. Storm household was searched using a search and rescue dog, but did not yield any positive results. A park nearby was also searched to no avail. At this point, Mrs. Storm confirmed that she was happy with the police effort to try to locate a missing daughter. And then, of course, the missing person's file was opened 1/5/2018. On the 4th of May, the next day on a Friday, about 9 o'clock, the station commander accompanied, again with Captain Mahesu, the communication officer, and the K-9 to the house, and they searched two houses in the neighborhood who identified as belonging to traditional leaders to eliminate the suspicion of ritual killing. Later that morning, a helicopter was deployed to check the nearby river and surrounding areas. A patrol vehicle was allocated to lead the search together with CPF members. They were tasked to follow any lead that the family received and to assist with the distribution of more flyers. A station commander tasked, again, Captain Mahesu, the station communication officer, to activate all his communication networks, including the provincial group chat, various media groups such as the Mamelodi FM, Record Online, the Daily Sun, Media 24, Radio Jacaranda, and the 4+1 taxis. The search was seen as a joint venture with the sole purpose of trying to find Katlego. And then Colonel Du Plessis, who is the branch commander there of the detectives, was tasked to ensure that Katlego has been circulated on a circulation system, which was done. Inquiries were again made to the neighboring stations, clinics, and hospitals. The same exercise of inquiring from the neighboring stations and visiting the clinics and hospitals was repeated. Members were sensitized not to discard any leads of information or information that was brought to the SAP's attention, either to the family or from other sources. Station commander consistently, of course, maintaining contact with Mrs. Storm, understandably so that at times there were no response to the calls. On the next day, the third day, on Saturday, 5 May, during the station commander's visit, Colonel Naidoo, the relief commander, confirmed that already 5 vehicles, 3 marked and 2 unmarked vehicles under the command of Captain Mkonza and a standby detective officer, a certain Captain Tabani, was assigned to assist the family to conduct a block-to-block search of the area with the CPF members and members of the community. The search party was also joined by the search and rescue dogs, and in charge was Warrant Officer Van Rooyen. The next day on the Sunday, 6 May, at approximately 1 o'clock, Station Commander and Colonel Sikota, the relief commander then, a station duty officer, visited the family and met with one of the uncles, Lebogang Storm, which then expressed the family's frustration with the SAP's inability to find Katlego and informed the station commander that part of their frustration was getting prank calls. Station commander informed them that various people claiming to be family members were providing leads that needed to be followed up, and due to this, more time had been wasted. The family agreed to provide in a person on their side that can contact Captain Maesu. The family was offered again counseling, as the station commander observed the emotional strain they were enduring as a family. And then Captain Dibani, the detective officer, followed up sightings in Mamelodi East area, and Captain Maesu had visited the local churches and asking for information and distributing flyers. The same day on the Sunday, at around 3 o'clock the afternoon, the station commander received information that a certain man with the name of Frank was being chased after breaking into a house. As he was chased, he ran into the Morotele River and then came across the body of Katlego's body. After verification of the information, she informed me as the cluster commander immediately. Station commander then visited the scene together with a relief commander that was on duty, Colonel Sikota and Captain Maesu, Tibani, all other duty officers and the Vispol members. Scene was cordoned off and a diving unit was summoned to the scene. Station commander informed the CPF chairperson, who also visited the scene, including certain family members. At that stage, when the community saw that the police were there at the Morotele River, they started congregating at the river. After I, as the cluster commander, arrived at the scene, I took command of the crime scene. I instructed that when they brought up the body from the river, that it was placed outside the view of the community members, as I indicated that we were already congregating at the river. And I also directed that the ESW people on standby, Pastor Westhuizen, must come to the scene. And then I requested one of the family members, there were three uncles at the crime scene. The spokesperson, Mr. Tabisu Storm, then came forward and he identified the body of that of Katlego. Then Pastor Westhuizen provided the necessary support on the scene. Due to the circumstances and all emotional reaction at the scene, I said that all of us, station commander and all the police contingency, must accompany the family. So we went to the family until late that evening. Then when we arrived at the family's house, that spokesperson, the one uncle Tabisu, he informed the family that we recovered the body. So we helped the family until late in the evening. They thanked us later and said they will contact us specifically with regards to the post-mortem the next day. On Monday the 7th, the previous night on the 6th, on the Sunday night, our Minister of Police was contacted and saying that there's allegations against the police that say that the family members were turned away. and that they indicated to them they must come back 24 hours later. So first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock, I convened a meeting with all management of Mamelodi West Police Station, as well as the management from the cluster office, and then in order to determine the sequence of events that led to that dissatisfaction of the family with regards to basic service delivery that was supposed to have been rendered when they first reported the missing child, and then also to coordinate the inquest into the death of the little girl. Then on Monday, 9 o'clock, General De Lange, our provincial commissioner, came to the police station, and then myself and the station commander accompanied her to go to the Storm family, of where the provincial commissioner apologized to the family for the SAP's unprofessional conduct during the initial reporting of the incident. Later the same day, at around 4 o'clock, I was informed by the investigating officer that was present with a post-mortem that at that stage there was no foul play detected. At that stage, they indicated and said there was no sexual abuse, no sexual assault, and the chances that the child, or all the indications was that the child drowned. They say, of course, that is a preliminary report. It was pending all the histology and the toxicology reports that are still outstanding at this stage. The next morning, at our cluster crime combating forum meeting, I once again, with all the station commanders present and the detective commanders present, highlighted to them the directives with regards to the, and all the circulars with regards to the dealing of missing persons. On that same day, the Monday, the previous day, the 7th, when General De Lange was there, the same day from the provincial office, all the instructions relating to missing persons, the instruction for 2018, as well as all the circulars were once again circulated to everybody in the province. The next day, or later in the day, the Tuesday, the MEC for Community Safety, she arrived, and after I briefed her, we went together to the family, and then the MEC once again spoken to the family about the neglect of not taking the complaint immediately. And then on Thursday, we as a cluster, from my cluster office and also the management from the station, we attended the memorial service of Katlego. On the Friday, the 11th, the next day, the Deputy Minister visited Mamelodi Station. After I briefed him, he went to the to proceed to the funeral. And then on Monday the 14th, we started with a disciplinary process to start taking statements with regards to all the allegations of this unprofessional conduct. We couldn't take it before, as we agreed with the family, that we were giving them time during that week. So we'll take it the next week. So the statements were taken. Next slide. If we look there at slide 17, Honourable Chair, we will see I made a note there of the appointment dates of the members of the management at the Mamelodi Police Station. For information, a station commander has been appointed there in 2014-06-01, visible commander there 13 years ago, 2005-03-01, detective commander last year, and the support commander 2008. The rest of the disciplinary process says as an action steps are still in the process of being finalized. We've opened 2 disciplinary registers inquiries, 14 and 15. And in order to address the improvement of the service delivery, the following steps have already been taken, or are in the process of being taken. One is we served on Monday notices of attendance suspension, not notice to suspend. So there's no suspension, it's only a notice of intended suspension the three of the members that we identified at this stage that worked in the community services center at the time when the family arrived there. So after the representation, of course, we will continue the disciplinary process. And in addition to this, we are busy with, me in my office as a cluster commander, I'm busy to undertake the possible rotation and relocation of some of the members, officers, and also the fiscal commander there at the Mamelodi police station. Some of them has been there for a very, very long time. And this process is not new. For the last about 5-6 weeks, we are busy to look at all 10 police stations for possible relocation and rotation of the officers. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, at this stage, we will take a 10-minute break, and then we'll come to questions. Thank you.